All right, and our last case this morning is Wilson versus Cook County, case number 13-1464. Ms. Kurtz.
May it please the court, counsel. Dana Kurtz appearing on behalf of appellant Ms. Crystal Amalger. I'm going to refer to her as Ms. Amalger. She's now married, so just in terms of the case, I'm used to referring to her that way. We're requesting that the court reverse the district court's grant of summary judgment on reconsideration and remand the case for trial. Following the Supreme Court's decision in Bryan County versus Brown, summary judgment should not have been granted in this case. Bryan County versus Brown, the Supreme Court held that liability depends on a finding that this officer was highly likely to inflict the particular injury suffered by the plaintiff, a plainly obvious consequence of the hiring decision. In this case, it is the exact same conduct that Mr. Veneria had committed back when he worked at adult probation that he committed against Ms. Amalger in this case. In
adult probation is a state agency, though. Is that right?
There's a question about that, and the court found in reconsideration that it was a state agency. That issue really doesn't matter. If you look at all of the hiring decisions, and in most cases in hiring decisions, it is going to be a different employer that previously employed the offender. What the court should look at is the language in Bryan County, which is the plainly obvious consequence. In this case, it's the exact same conduct. In fact, the district court, in her original opinion, was correct in holding that the background of Mr. Veneria showed an obvious likelihood that he would commit the same acts that he committed back at adult probation, that he committed against Ms. Amalger in this case. As well, the district court correctly held in her original opinion that Amalger had presented statements that suggest that Cook County supervisors were deliberately indifferent to these risks, citing Commissioner Marino's testimony that was, Mr. Marino testified that, quote, he did not care whether Cook County Human Resources checked to see whether someone he had hired had a history of sexually abusing people so long as he, quote, drank the Kool-Aid and was a political supporter. There's additional evidence in the record that shows deliberate indifference. There's not only the numerous incidents at adult probation, the rehiring him by Commissioner Marino, who was approved by President Stroger, the fact that when he actually was rehired at Oak Forest Hospital, there was this complaint in 2005 by an Eli Lilly representative where he was doing the exact same thing, demanding favors in exchange for sexual acts, for a kiss. Then the police, after Ms. Amalger went to the police, they had discovered another incident in 2005 where he had forced another woman to kiss him in exchange for promises of a job. Additionally, the fact that Mr. Veneria admitted that he had done this at least 10 times before, demanding sexual favors in exchange for government benefits or in exchange for a job. Additionally, the testimony of Gersten, who is the deputy bureau chief, who testified that President Stroger could hire whoever he wanted, including those that had committed sexual misconduct. There's other evidence in the record of this deliberate indifference. The fact that after Ms. Amalger went to the police and Mr. Veneria was arrested, Cook County put him on layoff instead of terminating him, which made him eligible for rehire. The fact that Commissioner Marino, even after Mr. Veneria had pled guilty to bribery and official misconduct, and was not allowed as part of his parole to do any political work, allowed him to do political work for him in 2009 and 2010. And then Commissioner Marino goes on to assist him to get a job at a youth facility where children are, knowing that he had pled guilty to sexual misconduct. there's more evidence in the record of this deliberate indifference. Where the district court erred in her reconsideration is holding that what Your Honor had brought up was that the fact that adult probation was not part of Cook County. So that's the first error with respect to the district court's decision. Then she also holds that on reconsideration, a showing of one instance of inadequate screening is not enough to establish deliberate indifference, citing Bryan County at 411. In fact, if you look at the Supreme Court's decision at 411 or the entire Supreme Court's decision in Bryan County, nowhere does the Supreme Court hold that a single incident is not enough. In fact, at 412, the Supreme Court holds, quote, even assuming without deciding that proof of a single instance of inadequate screening could even trigger municipal liability, the evidence in this case was insufficient to support a finding that hiring Burns, Sheriff Moore disregarded a known or obvious risk of injury. And in Bryan County versus Brown, the incident was the officer had engaged in essentially what was a frat fight and had some driving incidents, and the Supreme Court held that because it wasn't the same conduct, there was no indication of obvious consequence. Additionally, the Supreme Court cites Canton in Bryan County, where the Supreme Court holds that it does not foreclose a single decision for liability in a hiring decision. Consistent with the Supreme Court's decision in Bryan County, the evidence here, a jury could find that rehiring or hiring Mr. Venaria.
The problem I have with the claim is that there's plenty of evidence here that this guy was being protected by Marino and that he's got a horrible background and that he committed some really deplorable acts against your client. But that although that all of that might make out a negligent hiring claim against the county, if this were governed by that standard, it's not. It requires more than that. And I hesitate to import negligent hiring criteria, which might find a duty to do a detailed background check in the context of a negligence claim, but I hesitate to import that into the context that we have here, which requires deliberate indifference and some basis for Monell liability, so that municipalities have a duty to do a detailed background check on all employees, which I think would be a pretty novel holding.
And Your Honor, we're not asking this court to hold that a municipality should do a detailed background check. In fact, in this case, Cook County representatives testified that they, in fact, had a policy of doing background checks except for
political hires. Right.
So if you look at, and in Bryan County versus Brown, the Supreme Court did not, what is at issue is making that connection, and that's why the Supreme Court in these hiring cases in Bryan County says it is a higher standard of the plainly obvious consequence. Hiring someone, and in this case there is evidence that Cook County, even if you consider adult probation as being a separate entity, there's plenty of evidence in the record that Ms. Amalgar should be able to present at trial in front of a jury, that Cook County officials should have, could have, did know about Venaria's prior misconduct, including records for adult probation. There's testimony in the record at 1317 and 1318 that the personnel files for adult probation are kept in Cook County HR. There's also, if you look in the record at 2674, which is the exit interview in the top right-hand corner, it is a Cook County form, the exit interview form for adult probation, showing that he was terminated for misconduct. Marino admitted that he could have asked for the personnel file. Cook County produced the personnel file, in this case, from adult probation.
Wasn't that pursuant to a subpoena?
We actually subpoenaed the records after. In the record at, I believe it's 1491, there's a letter from the state's attorney's office, in this case representing Cook County, producing the personnel file from adult probation.
Does the standard matter as to the position that you're hiring a person? Bryan County versus Brown involved a police officer. Here's someone you're equipping with a gun, arrest powers, all of that. here the Veneri was hired to do what? To administratively assist in scheduling continuing education classes of some sort? It's hard to say what his job was.
Right.
Certainly wasn't to interview or hire, or he wasn't given supervision over anybody. Does it make a difference? Is Cook County distinguishable, at least on that basis, in a reasonable way? That, I mean, not Cook County, but Brown?
Sure. It does not make a difference. What is the issue is we're talking about government employees, and I see my time has expired.
You can answer the question.
Okay. That we're talking about government employees. So if you look at Wedke versus Davel, I think it's DAVEL, Seventh Circuit case, 1997. There's the Griffin case, which is cited in our briefs, 11th Circuit. There's also Doe versus Board of Education. In those cases, they were not police officers. So we're talking about government employees.
But those cases, they were all people that had authority over someone or teaching, something like that, with kids.
There was either teachers, there was also
town mayor, manager.
Correct. And in this case, the other issue with respect to answering your question, Your Honor, is the county gave him the appearances of that authority, giving him access to insurance documents, applications, putting him in the HR department, not supervising him, you know, giving him all of these vestiges of he had the authority to be able to convince Ms. Malger that he had that authority to hire.
Thank you. Mr. Poulos?
Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. My name is James Poulos, and I represent Cook County. Now, there's several facts that I'd like to clear up. First of all, I'd like to begin with there is a dispute where the county's position is that there is no evidence that supports a reasonable inference that the county does have a blanket policy of not checking references on Shackman-exempt employees. Now, there is testimony from the head of HR for Cook County and the head of Oak Forest Hospital where each of them asserted that the responsibility belonged to the other agency. Now, notwithstanding that distinction, assuming arguendo that that policy did exist, it still is our position that that policy does not create the moving force or the plainly obvious consequence that the facts that occurred in this case would have been preventable. Now, my opponent made mention as to Commissioner Moreno's clear apathy as to Phil Veneri's background as well as Phil Veneri's future conduct. Now, I'd like to just point out that that Commissioner Moreno did testify, and he clearly said there was too many questions and answers probably in my time to go over, but I'd like to refer the court to record page 1485 where Commissioner Moreno was asked a series of questions, and he clearly stated, when asking about sexual abuse and an employee who was accused of sexual abuse, he stated that he would care, and his answer to why would you care was because I would not want someone like that working for me. So Commissioner Moreno, first of all, Commissioner Moreno was not the policymaker, and he is not the subject at issue. But just for clarification, that was his testimony. And the last point of clarification as it goes to county employees, the head of HR, Doris Gershon, did testify when asked this question on record page 1247. Did you ever have conversations with President Stroger regarding whether employees should be rehired who have committed sexual misconduct? And her answer was, no, it's his decision. She never stated that President Stroger absolutely maintained a policy of hiring those that may be accused or have committed sexual abuse. But I'd like to step back just briefly and say that Phil Veneri did not act under color of law because Phil Veneri was an imposter who is not authorized to engage in any of his reprehensible conduct. Phil Veneri was never authorized to hire, to fire, to interview, or to offer employment to anyone, including Crystal Amlinger. The only authority that Phil Veneri had was that as an administrative assistant, whose responsibilities included coordinating continuing medical education courses for Oak Forest Hospital staff. Now, the reason why color of law is dispositive in this case is because Almaguer's theory of liability is inextricably intertwined and dependent on Veneria's actions. Now, the theory of liability in this case is deliberate indifference as to Phil Veneria's conduct. If Phil Veneria does not act under color of law, then I submit that the county had no duty to act at all. Now, what's more telling is that if we look at the operative complaint in this case, the second amended complaint, which is located at record page 565 to 593, and that's the plaintiff's second amended complaint where the plaintiff outlines her theory of liability against Cook County, and specifically in paragraphs 54 to 71, the plaintiff asserts a subtitle which is called Defending Cook County's Liability. And in those 18 paragraphs, in all but one of those 18 paragraphs, Phil Veneria is specifically mentioned by name. And in fact, in paragraphs 60, 81, and 91, which set out the theory, the cause of action under Section 1983, Due Process and Equal Protection, Phil Veneria is alleged to have acted under color of law. Now, to turn to the issue of causation, and as counsel, as my opponent mentioned, Bryan County versus Brown offers us an insight into stringent causation analysis. But Bryan County does not deviate from testing the causal link. And in order to test the proper causal link, we have to look at the principles of tort causation. And those include foreseeability as well as proximate cause. Now, the allegations in this case are that the hiring decision in 2002 and 2005 were the moving force. And I submit that Crystal Almaguer was not a foreseeable victim. Crystal Almaguer was a non-employee. She was unqualified for the position in which she was first offered. She met Phil Veneria through private channels in 2007, 2 years after the hiring decision. And it was Crystal Almaguer and Phil Veneria who agreed to trade sexual favors in exchange for promises of employment, even though the plaintiff testified that she was aware of the under-the-table manner in which she was going to procure the job, as well as the repeated comments from Phil Veneria that he could get in trouble and that people owed him favors, and that was why he was able to circumvent the normal hiring process. In addition to that, Phil Veneria's duties were those as an administrative assistant, not as a member of the HR personnel.
Right, but he held himself out as having those responsibilities and that apparent authority. That was the whole point of the scheme, right? She's a job applicant, and he's abusing his authority by representing that he has hiring authority over this non-existent position.
Your Honor,
securing these sexual favors in exchange for giving her the job. So, I mean, his actual authority may have been abused, but he was part of the scheme of abusing his actual authority was to assume this hiring power.
Your Honor, he's impersonating authority. Now, to extend apparent authority to color of law would severely broaden the rule.
He's clearly acting under color of law when he's representing himself as a hiring authority at this hospital for this non-existent job.
Your Honor,
the county may not have to indemnify him personally because he was acting outside the scope of his actual authority, but he was certainly assuming apparent authority with respect to this plaintiff and acting under color of law. His position with the hospital made this scheme possible.
Well, I think we're talking about a sufficient condition rather than a necessary condition, and I think Bryan County requires a necessary condition. So to the extent that he impersonated himself as a person who worked in HR and had the ability to hire, I would submit that causation could not be established based on that.
He didn't impersonate anybody. He was an employee of the county, an administrative assistant, and he misled this woman into thinking that he had the authority to give her a job. It wasn't a case of impersonation.
Well,
He
was a county employee.
Right.
And he was a county employee that was never delegated the responsibilities
right,
under the authority
of law. He's a county employee. He's using that position at the hospital to get sexual favors from this woman. That's enough for color of law.
There's
causation issue and other issues.
And if I could just move on along the causation issue, is that the plaintiff's position is that the inadequate screening for non-law enforcement government employees is that it was the moving force behind the constitutional injury. It's our position that to say that a screening process would be the moving force would lead to absurd results, and it would lack clarity in the law for future municipalities. I'd submit that we can test that absurdity by looking at a similar scenario with the facts in this case by substituting a trade of sexual favors for employment with trading property or money for employment. Now, it would be my position that there would be no moving force based on the hiring process or the screening process, and that's what's alleged here, is that the hiring process in 2002 and 2005 created the plainly obvious consequence that Phil Venaria would agree to trade sexual favors with Crystal Almaguer for false promises of employment. Now, I'd also just like to point out that the moving force between a transaction like this case as well as my hypothetical would be the agreement between the individual actors, the promisor and the promisee. And my last point about causation is that reference checks, even if performed diligently, don't offer perfect information or honest information for a whole host of confounding factors. That could come from lack of information. That could come from dishonesty. It could also come from counsel advising a human resources department not to inform a future employer as to the basis of separation. And I finally like to talk about document record 2674, where there's a separation form from the Adult Probation Department, which this court accurately pointed out that the Adult Probation Department is defined by law as an agency under the Office of the Chief Judge of the Circuit Court of Cook County, which is a state official. Now, on record page 2674, in the upper right-hand corner, that document is a separation document returnable to the Department of Risk Management. Now, within state government, and especially in Illinois, there is statutory construction requiring Cook County to provide services to state officials when it comes to benefits, when it comes to with disability benefits. This document that the plaintiff hangs their case on does not refer to a human resources document. And so if I could just conclude, unless this court has any other questions, I would just ask that this court affirm the judgment below.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kurtz, your time has expired, but I'll give you a minute for rebuttal. If you have anything to add.
If the court has any questions, I'll spend that minute answering any questions. The one point I will make is counsel had made references to the record, and I just asked that the court actually look at those record citations. We didn't have space in our brief to address all of the mischaracterizations. Obviously, this court knows that the inferences have to be taken in favor of the plaintiff, but there were several references in the record where they didn't cite the complete testimony or took it out of context, et cetera. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. And that concludes the call today, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.